Praise the Lord. All right, we're recording. So anyway, as I was saying, this whole idea of Mother's Day and celebrating mothers, I think it's really important. Don't take me wrong. I really believe it's important, especially in this time when mothers are marginalized, when mothers are really, really, they're put back. They're put down in many places because they choose to give life to their babies. And that is, to me, is something that makes it a reason to celebrate Mother's Day. But also, the Lord led me to develop this message on faith. And, it takes faith to be a mother. It takes faith to give birth. It takes faith to know that God has brought this child to you for you to raise the child. Collectively, believers are a great spiritual force in this world. We are a giant spiritual force, individually and collectively. We only need to recognize the power of God that resides within us. And this is true whether we've been taught it or not. And today, each and every one of you, when you leave here, you will know the parameters, at least the parameters of this power and this authority that you have been given, if in fact you are a believer. Now, anyone in this room who may not be a believer, you don't have to pay attention to this because it doesn't apply to you. But if you're a believer, this applies to you, okay? And I believe it's time that we wake this slumbering giant. I think the church has been asleep for way too long. The body of Christ needs to rise up. The body of Christ needs to stand up. The body of Christ needs to exercise the power and authority that has been given to it. Before we go on, I want us to pray, okay? Because because of my nature, I could easily get into my flesh, and I don't want that to happen. I really want this to be a message from God, so I've got to kind of put me down a little bit, okay? So let's just take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, please reach inside of each of us, Lord. Please open our minds. Help us to awaken to the truth of your word. Please eliminate any traditions and doctrines of men that might not be true to your word, Father. As we go through your word today, help us to rely on your word. Empower us, Father, by your Holy Spirit to love you completely and to love others as ourselves. Grow us together as your word instructs, Father, that we would be united, that we would be one as you and your Son are one. Help us to be your family that meets in this building, Lord. Keep us engaged in your work as we see the day of Christ's return coming. Thank you for allowing us to gather here to praise and worship you. Please pour your Spirit like fire upon each and every one who's within the sound of my voice. Pour out the fire of your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, that we would recognize the power and the authority that we are to operate in. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father, as we attend to your word. And please, please, Father, I beg you, clear any distractions, anything, Lord, that might be occupying the space in our brain, Lord, that we would attend fully to your word, that we would not be taken away from your word even for a moment. Lord, your word is true. And we ask, Lord, that you would seat it within our hearts and our minds. Now, Lord, I ask that you would grant to your servant that power with all boldness and that I might speak your word, Lord, as if you were speaking. It's through your Holy Spirit, through your holy servant, Christ, the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, that I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to start with the 9th chapter of Luke's gospel record. You'll find that on page 1599 if you have a Bible there in your seats. We need to get some more of those, folks. page 1599. That's Luke's gospel record. We're going to just read, initially, we're going to read the first six verses, and then we're going to jump down to verse 37. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Page 1599 in those Bibles there in the seats. Yeah. You know what? I could turn it up. Well, I can't turn that up. If I use this, though, that's going to... Let me see here, John. Is that any better? Is that better? Okay. I see heads nodding. All right. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And this is what's written there. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there. And from there, depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Now we're going to move down. Same chapter, chapter 9. We're going to go to verse 37. Luke chapter 9, just a page over or so. If I can get my fingers to work. Now it happened, verse 37, on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him. Suddenly, a man from the multitude cried out, saying, teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Now that poses a question for me. Because he had just given them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick, to cure the sick. All right, let's go on. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down, threw the boy down, convulsed him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, gave him back to the father. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. He had just given them power. He had just given them authority. These were the guys that were walking with him. These were his main guys. His main disciples. And they could not cast this demon out. Now we're going to look at the other gospel records because they give us more details. But before we do, I want to get into some other texts of Scripture to help build up the case. They had power and authority over all demons. Not just some. He didn't say just some or most. Didn't say many. He said all. All means all. All. There are no demons that do not fall under that category of all. None. Doesn't matter they inhabit. They had power and authority over all demons, and they had power and authority to cure diseases. That's what's written. Now, the Greek word for power there is dunamis. I think we get our English word dynamite from that. Dunamis, power. Power, great power. Not a little tiny bit of power. Not like a little firecracker. It's power. It's the mighty power of Almighty God. This is what he says. This is our Lord, the one that we claim to believe, okay? It's power for performing miracles. If you look at the root word, you look at the definition, it is power for performing miracles. And the word for authority is exousia. It's the power, among other things, it has lots of different definitions, it can be used in a lot of different contexts, but in this context, it is the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. It is the power that must be obeyed. Must be obeyed. The demons may not say no. If you're operating in the power and the authority that was endued to you by Christ our Lord. He said so. He said so. Not me. This isn't my word. This is his word. This is his word. Right out of the Bible, okay? It's the power and the authority of Almighty God. And the demons must obey. And you've got to get that. It's like God's behind the door, okay? And he's saying to you, you have this. Power. You have the authority to command those demons to stop whatever it is they're doing. That's what he says. Now, those demons must obey because it's his authority. It's not my authority. It's not your authority. He has delegated that authority to you through Christ our Lord. And we'll get into how that happens. I think it's time that this giant is awakened. I really believe it is time for the body of Christ to stand up in the power and the authority of Almighty God. We wouldn't be where we are right now if the church had stood up a long time ago. Let's not take the prayer out of the schools. Let's not stop our children from praying to Almighty God. Let's not allow, and forgive me if there's anybody in this room who has given their child in that act of abortion. Forgive me, but let's not do this. God will forgive you if you have. I know because I've met people and I've trusted Almighty God to cleanse their mind of all that that was hurting them and tormenting them. Let's wake up the giant. His dunamis is ultimate power. Now, how did this one that we call Jesus, Yeshua, how did he get this power? How did he get this authority? How did this happen? In Matthew chapter 7, it's written, he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes, not as the religious leaders of that day. He taught with authority. But where did that happen? How did that happen? It's written in Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given to me, this is our Lord speaking, in heaven and on earth. All authority was given to him. Not some, not most, not much, all. That's what he said. Now, if you believe him, if you believe in him, if you trust that in fact he is the Savior, then you know this is true. He received all authority. When he was baptized by John, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father spoke from heaven as the Spirit lighted upon him like a dove. It's written in Matthew chapter 11, that he said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Do you know the Father today? If you know the Son, he will reveal the Father to you. As the Son of God, he received all power. He received all authority. All means all. Those unclean spirits, those demons, they have no authority that hasn't been granted to them in your authority. When you walk in it, when you're walking in the authority of Christ our Lord, you have the authority to say, stop! They may not go against your will if you're standing in the will of Almighty God. And it is God's will that people be healed. It is God's will that people be cleansed. It is God's will that people be set free, not enslaved. God does not will that his people would be enslaved. When his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. Then he will cleanse their land. And we must be his people in his will, doing what he wants us to do. Let this sleeping giant awake. But what does it take? What does it take to operate in his power? What does it take to operate in his authority? We must be born again. We may not be in the flesh. We must be born again. We must be transformed. We must be renewed. We must be set on fire by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, we see all kinds of mess in the world, and we are convinced by the world. Look, I don't know if any of you have ever worked on cars. Anybody here ever work on a car? Charlie, I know Charlie does. Bob does. Anybody get your hands greasy? You get your hands dirty, right? You're working on something, your hands get dirty, and it just doesn't come off, right? You've got to really scrub. Sometimes it doesn't come off for days. It actually has to wear off, right? And that's the same thing that happens with us. Whenever the world gets on us, it dirties us up. And God is going to say he wants to cleanse you. He wants you to have that faith. He wants you to walk in that faith. He wants you to operate in the authority and power that he has given you. He doesn't want your hands to be dirty. But sometimes that gets in the way. It gets in the way of us operating in his spirit because that dirt clings to us. The world clings to us. And when we're watching television, folks, and I know this is going to beat some people up. Forgive me. I'm not going to look at anybody, Lord. But when we've got our faces planted on these TVs and they're blowing all this stuff at us in pure, high definition, full-blooded color, and they're saying, everybody's going to die. And what happens? Do we stand up and rebuke it in the name of Jesus? Are we calling it out for what it is? Are we standing in the power and authority of Almighty God, or are we bowing down and cowering in fear? Well, I'd submit to you, there's a lot of people that are cowering in fear, and I want that none that hear my message to be those people. You have the power. You have the authority. Stand within it. We have to walk by faith. Our Lord said, all things are possible. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. And this is why I think we need to wake up this sleeping giant. Much of the body of Christ is walking by sight. What we see, and where are we seeing it? Are we actually? How many people here have actually seen others who are suffering with this new virus? Anybody? Not one in the room. One. Saw somebody. Now let me tell you, folks, what we're seeing on television is like the grease that comes off that engine when you're working on it, guys. It's blinding our eyes to seeing the truth of Almighty God. I'm not saying that the virus isn't real. I'm not saying that it isn't dangerous. I believe it is. But I'm telling you this, it's being used as a political football to kick everybody out of faith. Let's hide. Let's hide ourselves. Let's not gather together. Oh, you're unloving if you gather together. Well, let me tell you, the most loving thing we can do is gather together to worship Almighty God in spirit and in truth. That's the most loving thing we can do. We love our Creator. I don't want to embed high-definition television messages in my brain. I want to embed the Word of Almighty God. He says, I have power. He says, I have authority. And not just me, all of us. If in fact we're His, we have power. We have authority. This is what He says. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? Or is this just another book up on the shelf or on the table? Do we really believe it? Because He says it. And we need to believe it, folks. We need to wake up to that reality. We need to wake up to that reality. Boy, it got warm in here. Praise God. I asked Him to drop the fire of the Holy Spirit on us. Woo! The world's programming us to operate by sight and not by faith. That's the problem. This is why the body of Christ is largely sleeping. It's like a great bedroom, one preacher said, and got all the Christians that are asleep. And they're all saying, oh, please don't wake me up. You know, the whole point of this message today is that we would wake up, that we would operate by faith and not by sight. It's only by faith that the sleeping giant will awake. That's the only way. It's not going to happen any other way. If God's people would exercise their faith, guess what happens when you exercise? Anybody? You get stronger. Oh, yeah. So exercise your faith in the little things, in the little tiny things. Exercise your faith, and it gets stronger, and it gets stronger, and it gets stronger. And the next thing you know, you understand that you have the power and authority of Almighty God, and you can stand in that authority, and you can operate in that power, and you can bring forth the kingdom of God to this earth. Amen. You have that. His people who are called by His name can operate in His power. We can operate in His authority, which He delegated to us. And then we know the truth, and that truth sets us free. All things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. If we'd learn about His power, we'd see true miracles. But His authority, I believe we'd see massive change. Amen. I really do, folks.
Amen. We see it in the mission field.
Amen.
Change, people healed, people delivered.
Amen. Amen.
Time.
God's
again.
Power. God's power is still alive, folks. His authority is what we operate in. There's no virus that should shut down the church, no matter what anybody says. There's no way that God's people should be refusing to meet. Oh, well, we can meet online. Really? You know what happens when I preach to an empty room? Nothing. Nothing at all. I can't see you. The Holy Spirit's not witnessing to my spirit. There is nothing. It is powerless. Powerless. If we would learn about this, if we would operate in His power and in His authority, we'd see those changes. Remember, He sent 70 disciples out ahead of Him. He sent 70 disciples. We don't have that many people in this room. But let's just think, if He took all of us and He sent us out into the mission field two by two, and He said, you go and preach the kingdom. You heal the sick. You cast out demons. How many of you would put your hand up and say, send me, Lord? You know? He did that. He sent them out ahead of Him. Ahead of Him. Why would He send them out ahead of Him? To prepare His way. When He sent them city to city, He told them, the harvest truly is great, But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. How many of you are ready to go out into the harvest? The harvest is great. The harvest is great. The harvest is great. Heal the sick there, he said. He didn't say just hold a magic prayer meeting. And there's so many that think, oh, we can just have a little prayer meeting and everything will be fine. No. Or they think, there's nothing we can do. Prayer isn't going to help. Prayer is the answer. Who said that, Bill? Prayer is the answer. Heal the sick, he said, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And he said, whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say to them, the very dust that clings to our shoes, we wipe off as a testimony against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come to you. Maybe it's time for some of God's servants to wipe the dust of their city off of them. Maybe that city hasn't received them. I don't know. Maybe it's time for us to get out there two by two. Maybe it's time for us to bring the power and authority of Almighty God to the streets of America. Maybe it's time for us to bring the power and authority of Almighty God to every land on this world. You know, after being born again in the Spirit, we're no longer of this world. Do you get that? We're no longer of this world. We don't belong to this world. It's not our world. It is not our home. We're traveling through here, okay? Our home's with our Creator. In his first letter, the Apostle Peter called believers sojourners and pilgrims. Sojourners and pilgrims. They have a tough time of it. He doesn't say they get a bed of roses. He doesn't say they get a turkey dinner on Thanksgiving. He said they're pilgrims. And there's some suffering involved. And we don't like to hear that. You know, because there's preachers that would tell you, oh, it's all about you, and you're going to have a great life, and everything's going to go just fine with you. Come to Jesus, and he's going to take care of you. And he does. But it's not always like you might think. Sojourners and pilgrims. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's written, the faithful all died in faith, not having received the promises. This is right after he gives this big long list of all those who had come by faith, walked by faith, lived by faith, gave their lives even for God by faith. He said, but having, they had not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them. How were they assured of them? What's the word? Faith. By faith they were assured of those promises. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what they confessed. These are the ones, many of whom died for their faith. It's speaking of those, as I said, who many call, they're listed in what's called the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And remember that at the very beginning of that, it says, our faith is the substance. Our faith is the substance of what we expect. It's the evidence of what we don't see, or the evidence of the promises. You're promised that you have power. You are promised that you have authority. Are you walking in it? Or are your eyes greased over from the world? All you see is grease. We walk by faith, not sight. That's what's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Right before we hear that if our earthly house, this tent, this body, is destroyed. Oh, we don't like to hear about that part, huh? Yeah, well, that's what the Word says. If this body of ours is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For walking by faith, we see that promise afar off. We can embrace it so that we can be not afraid. Be not afraid. It's a state of being. In this we groan, it goes on, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, not because we want to die, but because we're on life. That new life, the new body. We're in this tent, we groan, we're burdened. We want to be further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. So what do we fear? What are we fearing? Are we fearing other people? Are we fearing that we're going to be shamed or bullied? What are we fearing? Why are we fearing? We have nothing to fear. But as that great man of these United States once said, fear itself. That's the only thing we have to fear. And God, let us not forget. I'm speaking in human terms when I say we only have fear itself to fear. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. It goes on, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Guarantee? Guarantee? What, is God not keeping His promise? Will God not keep the fact that He gave you a guarantee? Well, you buy something, you get a warranty with it. Doesn't guarantee anything. But God has bought you, and He's given you His Spirit as a guarantee of that life which is to come. So what are you fearing? You walk by faith, not sight. All things are possible for those who believe. That's what's written. Possible? All things. So we are always confident. Paul goes on in his letter to the Corinthians. We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, this flesh, we are absent from the Lord. But to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So if you're going out into the world and you don't have grease on your eyes, and you're walking in that power and authority that you've been given by Almighty God, what do you have to fear? What, some demon is going to raise its ugly head and yell at you or something? What, you saw too many movies. Let me tell you something. When you operate in the power and authority of Almighty God, those demons run. They have no power over you, unless, of course, you've opened the door of sin and allowed them in. Now there we get to a whole other series of messages. We may not operate in sin and expect that Almighty God is going to allow us to operate in His power. If we're operating in sin, that changes the game. It's people who recognize that we've been bought and paid for out of sin into His righteousness. But the natural man, it's written, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's written, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, Paul knew affliction. He was beat up. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. I mean, you name it. The things that happened to him never happened to me. He says, but this light affliction, they stoned him, picked him up thinking he was dead, tossed his carcass out in the outside the city walls. The Spirit of God revived him. He said, for this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What isn't seen? that promise. We can't see it with our physical eyes. It's behind the door. But we're still looking forward to it with spiritual eyes, not with physical eyes. For the things which are seen, can I say even viruses? The things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural, the flesh. So you need to be revived by the Spirit of God. You need to have the Spirit of God come upon you. You need to have that fire of the Holy Spirit drop down upon you and enlighten you, enliven you, to raise you up out of the flesh and into the spirit realm. I know it's not much of a Mother's Day message, but I know it's right where God wants us to be at this time, folks. They're spiritually discerned. He says all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to them who believe. You have power. You have authority. Those are two different things. Had somebody argue with me one time that they were the same thing, and I said, no, we've got to look at the root words, and the root words showed us two different things. Although sometimes authority can be translated as power, and we know that those who are in authority have power. In fact, in this country, they're starting to wield it in ungodly ways. Let's look at the second passage that we read in Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 9, verse 37. If you want to open there, you can. It's on 5 or 1600, I guess it is, in those Bibles there in the seats. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 37. You'll notice that most of what we go through in our messages here is God's Word. It's not something that I think about God's Word. It is God's Word. This is what we need. This is what we're starving for. His Word tells us, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it's not a worldly knowledge that he's talking about. He's talking about scriptural knowledge. Luke chapter 9, verse 37. Now it happened on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him. And he suddenly cries out, it convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples. I begged your disciples, please, please get this demon out of my boy. But they couldn't. And Jesus said, faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was coming, the demon threw him on the ground. We see in this passage, the spirit and the demon are called as being in that boy. It's the same thing. The unclean spirit and the demon threw him down, convulsed him. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, gave him back to his father, and they were all amazed at the majesty of God. How do you think so many people came into the church in the early days? They were operating in the power and authority that they had been given. They weren't watching the big screen TV and getting their eyes glazed over. Demons are spirits that believers have authority and power over. There is no doubt in my mind about that whatsoever. Mark's record of this event gives a few additional details, and we want to touch on that real quick. Some of the religious leaders were disputing with his disciples. These were scribes. And those scribes, these religious leaders, they were obviously having an argument. After the man brought his son, our Lord said, how long has this been happening? Now, the other gospel record doesn't give us that detail. How long? And the man said, from childhood. He's often thrown him into both the fire and the water to destroy him. And then the dad, listen to what the dad says. He's, but if you can do anything, If you can do anything, he's talking to the Lord of glory. He's talking to our Lord and Savior. The one we call Jesus, Yeshua, he's talking to him. He says, if you can do anything, your guys couldn't, but if you can, have compassion on us and help us. How many parents here feel the pain of their children? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have compassion on us and help us. And our Lord said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe. So now he looks at the guy and he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately, the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears in his eyes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Say it with me. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Cry out to God. He has empowered you. He has given you authority. He has authorized you. Help my unbelief. And then the Lord rebukes this unclean spirit, this demon, and it leaves the boy. He said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you. Do you know you can command demons? You have that authority. The Bible tells you that. This isn't something that you're doing that's out of the normal. It's not something that's out of the ordinary. It's not something that you shouldn't be doing. It's not something that the demon can resist. You are authorized in the power that Almighty God has given to you to command. Command, not ask, not beg. Oh God, please take this away. No, command it. That's what he says. He commanded the demon to come out. He rebuked that unclean spirit. He said, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. And don't forget that part. Don't forget that part. The spirit cried out. Our Lord tells us one time, he said, the spirit will leave and then it'll go out and get some of its buddies and come back. You need to command it not to come back. And I know this is not a comfortable topic for a lot of people, okay? I understand that, but the Lord has laid this message on my heart and I need to deliver it to you. These are the times that were spoken of in the Word by the holy prophets of that time. And they wanted to see what we're seeing, okay? We need to be people who stand up. We need to wake up, people. It is time for the church of Almighty God to stand up and operate in the power and authority that he has given to us. After that demon left, the boy fell down like he was dead. And the people said, he's dead. He killed him. They were looking for that, you know. They wanted him to do anything that they could nail him on. So they're looking at this boy. He's not moving. Of course, the Lord takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and he's fine. Boop, pops up. When they came into the house, now pay attention. When they came into the house, his disciples asked him privately. Privately? Privately. Lord, why couldn't we cast this one out? And he said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, just in case you think that's the only time that was written, and maybe some guy messed up and it doesn't really mean that, it's written again and we're going to get there. Unbelief can get on to us like that grease when you're working on a car. And it can limit your ability to operate in the power and authority that you have in Christ. Unbelief. Matthew tells us in the 17th chapter of his gospel record that our Lord actually told them that. He said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Not the guy's unbelief, not the boy's unbelief, your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, anybody ever see a mustard seed, how tiny it is? You'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing. Can you say that with me? Nothing will be impossible. That's what he says. This is our Lord. We say we believe Him. We say that we follow Him. We say that we teach what He teaches, but we don't like to teach that part because, after all, there's this little thing that might just happen because of our unbelief, and we don't want our unbelief to be revealed to the world, and so then what do? We hide it. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm pointing at myself. You see me pointing at myself? Nothing will be impossible. Now maybe, just maybe, the idea of prayer and fasting is uncomfortable for you. It's not for me. But I can tell you it works. And I can tell you this, it's the process of getting out of ourselves and into Him. Because my flesh does not control me. My flesh can cry out for food, it can cry out for whatever it wants, and I can say no! I command my flesh to obey my spirit, which is guided by His spirit. My flesh doesn't have control over me. His spirit has control over me. Getting out of ourselves and into Him, that's full trust. That's full reliance. That's full surrender. It's an old hymn we sing. I surrender all. But do we really? I know that fasting has a profound effect on our relationship and our reliance upon God. I'm absolutely certain of that. I'm living proof. And I just quickly want to look at faith and healing from our Lord's perspective and from the Apostle Paul's. You know, both of them had an opportunity to heal many times, and they healed a lot of people. But both of them experienced a time, at least one time, when it's written that they were not able to. They cast out unclean spirits. They both had healed people. And Matthew gives us an account of an exception for our Lord. When He had come, this is Yeshua, the one we call Jesus, when He had come to His own country, He taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished. And they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Where did he get this? Where did this come from? And then they go on to say, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary and his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas and his sisters? Aren't they all with us? Isn't this that guy? The guy that grew up here, isn't that him? In fact, his family still lives here. Isn't that guy? Like, where did he get this from? And they were offended at him. And he said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Sometimes, do you know that your family members will not accept that you are operating in the power and authority that Almighty God has given you? Do you know that? Do you know that the people in your own hometown would look down on you? And sometimes that's why God takes us elsewhere, where He can use us better, because we're not going to be surrounded by that unbelief. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. And He did not do many works there. He did not do many mighty works there because of unbelief. That's what He said. That's what's written. He must have done some mighty works, or else they wouldn't have said, where's this guy getting these mighty works? How can he do these mighty works that he does? He must have done some, but he couldn't do many. He couldn't do many because of their unbelief. And so we see that there is an exception. There are times when people do not believe wholesale. Let's just take a whole town like maybe the city of Pittsburgh or the city of Butler City. You know, maybe there are very few people that will believe. And because those people will not believe, we will not see the revival of God's church. And maybe it's time to wipe the dust off our feet. I don't know. But I'm saying this giant needs to awake. I'm not putting a curse on anybody, okay? I want the souls that Almighty God has bought and paid for to be collected. And we're the ones that are supposed to be collecting them. Not just us. The entire body of Christ. What limited him? He said their unbelief. We go into 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and we find the account of Paul. He related and boasted of the visions and miracles that he had encountered. He's boasting. He said, I'm boasting. You know, this happened, that happened, the other things happened, all this stuff was happening. But, he goes on, he said, it's really unexpected, but he says, lest I should exalt above measure, should I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, he said, man, I'll tell you what, I've been seeing stuff. Just so that I don't get too puffed up about it, he said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, no, wait a minute, I'm going to pause for a moment. I live with a thorn in my flesh. I have multiple thorns. God has allowed them. I have begged him. I have pleaded. I have commanded. I have done everything. And he said, no. There are times when God will say no to you. And why? He tells us, my grace is sufficient for you. We need to operate in grace. For my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness, your weakness. Your weakness brings about God's strength. Sometimes God will say no to you. You have to understand that. You have the authority. You have the power. But who's the ultimate authority? Almighty God. He's the top authority. Keep moving just a moment here. Please bear with me. He says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, which is what I just did. I just admitted to you all, I have thorns in my flesh, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm not going to make myself out to be something I'm not. I operate in his power. I operate in his authority. I couldn't speak like this if it weren't for him. I can tell you that. I guarantee you that, because one of the thorns that I have in my flesh would stop it. But God takes over and he makes it happen. He makes it possible. And as long as you're in his will, he will take you and use you to his glory by whatever means he sees fit. His strength is made perfect in and through our weakness. And when something hits us, it might be a means of him humbling us. And that way we fully count on him for everything. Instead of on ourselves. Instead of on our strength. Instead of on the authority and power that he has given to us. We're not relying on that. We're relying on him. And as I wrap this up, I want to remind you of those main ideas. If you're born again, you're transformed. You're renewed. In the Spirit, you're walking by faith and not by sight. You've been given power and authority. That is a fact. Recognize that power that God has given to you. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. Where's the mirror? God will use you. Just let him. Recognize that the power of God resides within you, and you can do what things? All things. By faith. His power and his authority must only be used to his glory. This is an absolute. You may not take that power and authority and use it for your own good, to build you up. It's to build him up. You're pointing everyone to Christ. You're pointing everybody to Almighty God the Father. You are not bringing people to yourself. You're bringing them to him. We can never, ever take the glory. Remember the two times that when casting out unclean spirits and healing may not happen. Sometimes it's unbelief, not always. Sometimes it's unbelief. Sometimes it's our unbelief. Sometimes it's the other's unbelief. And other times it's when God says no. You have to remember that. Because otherwise you'll go out there and you say, well, why isn't this happening? The pastor said, I have the power and I have the authority. And you've got to pray to God. You've got to be fasted and prayered up. God, is this your will? Because if it is, I will operate in your authority and I will operate in your power and I will tell that demon, whatever that sickness is, to get out. He said, teach others. And we must never assume that healing and deliverance is impossible. We can't just walk up on somebody and say, well, this one's a lost case. I can't, you know, cancer, God doesn't heal cancer. Oh, this one, no, I can't do that. Leprosy, no. Oh, wait, lepers were healed, weren't they? Yeah, God's word says so. oh, this virus, you know, we can't lay our hands on anybody because we're supposed to stay 6 feet away from them, right? We can't anoint them with oil like God's word says because we're not supposed to be close to them, right? Come on! Are we operating in the power and authority of Almighty God, or are we operating by fear and not by faith? Are we operating by faith, or are we operating by sight? Let's be real. I mean all the way real. All the falseness has got to go, folks, okay? These are the days that were written of. We are the ones that are charged with going out into the world and bringing people to Christ. And one of the ways that he uses to make that happen is we bring his kingdom to them, and they are cleansed. They are healed. They are brought out of whatever it is that they're in that he doesn't want them to be in. He said, teach others to observe everything he had commanded. What did he command? Go out, teach them, preach, baptize, and heal. That's part of what he taught. He said to do it. Except you. And except you. And except... No! He sent all of his disciples out to do this. And as I said when I started, it's time to wake this slumbering giant. It's time, folks. It is time. And I want to ask you, are you with me? Are you with me? Even if it means people shaming you? Even if it means people bullying you? Even if it means people harming you? Trying to force you to do something that's against your will? Remember, it was our Lord who said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. What things are possible? All things are possible. All things. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Except if it's a virus that's being promoted all over the world just says they're going to kill you, then that won't... No, wait, that's not there, is it? Okay. I just want to make sure because I really want to stay true to the Word of God. We need to exercise the authority and the power that he has given to us as we walk on his path. Because it is his path, you know, right? It's his path. And we're to be walking on it. As we live these lives, as we are sojourners and pilgrims on this earth, we need to be walking on his path. Because that's what he said. I want you to go out in that power. I want you to go out in that authority. I want you to walk in that authority. I want you to fear nothing and no man, no woman, nobody. I don't care who they are. I'm not going to call anybody out, but I am not going to be afraid. And neither should any of you. You need to operate in the power of Almighty God because he gave you the authority to do it. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Your word is true. We are all liars, Lord, but your word is true. Help us to operate in your power. Help us to operate in your authority. Help us to be your people who are going out into all the world and bringing the message, the good news, the kingdom of heaven. Help us to bring your kingdom to bear upon the lives of the men and women that we encounter in our lives. Help us not to be hiding, Lord, but help us to be out there engaged in the world. Help us to bring your truth to bear upon the lives that we encounter, I pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 To God be the glory. I guess we could receive an offering, huh? Can we receive an offering? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask that you would guide us in our giving, that it would be sufficient to meet the needs here, Lord, to keep this house of worship open. And God, I thank you that you meet my needs through your riches and glory. Lord, and I will continue to serve here as your volunteer. From now until Christ returns or you take me home, I pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people say, amen. Let the Lord lead you in your giving.